narrow lines, that meet other edges.
The youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins, sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors, right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of dismembrishment, if Parliament does not raise this money.
And controversial.
If driving to the roads is engaging the macabre, compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arongo Obu at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
And a very beautiful afternoon to everyone. Shaku Maku. It's the Public Square, and you know what we do on 99.3 Nigeria Info. We have Ayobe to help open the square, the host of ideas with Ayobe. Thank you very much, Ayo, for starting up the square with us this afternoon.
And thank you for allowing me to occupy a corner of the square.
It's been a very busy week, and I'm sure, but inside and outside the country. And Ayo, of course, has a lot to talk about. Ayo, look, I see we already have a guest already joining the discussion, Awal Musa Rafsanjani. Ayo and I were joking before we came in that he's a man with several hats.
I'm going to tell you all those hats, Rafsanjani. Welcome to the program. I'm going to introduce you. You see, we all know the name Awal Musa Rafsanjani is the name that we know. And you know him mostly as the Executive Director of the Civil Society Legislative Advocacy Center, which is CISLAC. But he's also the head of Transparency International in Nigeria. And he's the chair of the Board of Trustees of Amnesty International Nigeria. And for the purposes of this program, most importantly, he has, last year he was elected as the chair of the Transition Monitoring Group. And the Transition Monitoring Group, what they are monitoring, the transition they're monitoring, is the transition to democracy. So, of course, that is right up our street on Ideas Radio, where we talk about integrity, democracy, ethics, and accountability. And when we're talking about democracy, we know that last week the president signed the Electoral Act amendment into law. And so I thought it would be a good idea for Rafsanjani, as the leader of the Transition Monitoring Group, to tell us how does this legislation enhance the integrity of elections in Nigeria? I know there are many provisions, but can you sort of identify some of those that you think enhance the integrity of our elections?
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Madam President, forgive me. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we are making progress. Nigerians have lost hope and confidence in the electoral process because the electoral process has been marked with, you know, manipulation, absence of integrity, and all sorts of violence associated with the electoral process. So therefore, many Nigerians have not been really participating, and they decided just to leave some handful of people to do whatever they want to do. But this time around, with the active, you know, advocacy of civil society organizations, and also with the effort by INEC itself, to ensure that those areas identified as regular and constant problems for having a credible, sound, acceptable, fair election in Nigeria are actually addressed through this Electoral Act amendment. Once it is implemented and complied with by the, you know, different actors, I believe that we are going to make, you know, progress. One of the areas that I think, you know, if we are able to comply with is the early release of election funds to INEC. You may recall that in the previous election, you know, number without time, election has to be postponed because the required resources for INEC has not been provided. So under this, you know, amendment act, the INEC has been strengthened, you know, in terms of its financial independence and the financial need by ensuring that full funding required for the general election is released not less than 1 year before the next general election.
Okay, but I mean, Rafanjani, we are already 1 year out from the election. Has INEC got all the funds that it needs? I mean, is it a case of you pass the law and the law is on paper, but in the actuality, what happens?
Yes. Well, I mean, now it is a crime for anybody that is responsible to release the money, and you know, the person or the institution does not allow that to happen. So, but at least we have a legal framework that mandates that INEC must have these resources. So that's why I say, if we are able to implement and comply with the Amendment Act. But I think the first step is to first have the legal framework. Mm-hmm. Now we have the legal framework.
So it won't affect these elections, because obviously the law has been passed, and it's not possible to apply that provision to the coming 2023 elections.
Yeah, that is why we were advocating for the president to sign the act in time, so that we avoid things like this. But I think, nevertheless, we are happy that we have the act in place, and whatever we need to do to address those shortcomings, we can do it and forth. But I think it is important that we have the legal framework, we have the mandate that legalize and necessitate having this provision. And anybody who violates it, we know that there is the consequences for that.
Okay. Now, but apart from the funding aspect, of course, everybody had been talking about the electronic transmission of results. Can you say anything about that, or any other provision that you have identified?
Yes, I think it is important that we legalized electronic accreditation of voters. Mm-hmm. And in the past, if you remember, there had been some disputes about INEC, even though INEC had the mandate to organize the election, you know, with any suitable means to ensure that we have free, fair, and credible election. Mm-hmm. But still, some people were challenging that mandate of INEC. Now that it is in the Electoral Act, nobody is going to question, you know, INEC. So therefore, INEC, you know, this act makes provision for electronic accreditation of voter using smart card readers or any technological device as may be determined by INEC.
Haven't we seen situations where INEC has certainly said that it's going to have electronic accreditation of voters, but when the time comes, the electronic card readers malfunction or fail to connect with, there's a network failure, and they resort to the manual. Does INEC still have the freedom to choose whether to go all electronic, or is it that now that it is having the electronic accreditation, it cannot do anything except electronic accreditation?
No, I think the principle is that INEC now has the legal mandate to use electronic technology to ensure that elections are conducted, which includes, of course, ensuring that the accreditation of the voters are done. You remember, this is helping to reduce or to eliminate, you know, multiple voting, rigging, and all sorts of disputes. So nobody is going to go to court to challenge INEC for using the electronic technology for conducting election. But before, people can go to court to say it is not in the Electoral Act. But now we have it as a law, you know, so nobody is going to go to court to challenge the INEC for doing this. That is the point we want to make here. The second issue is that INEC is assuring, you know, Nigerians that they are doing everything possible to address whatever shortcomings that we experienced, you know, in the previous election using, you know, technology, you know. So we want to encourage INEC to ensure that gaps noted in the previous election through the use of technology this time around address, since, you know, they have had, you know, a mandate, so which means that they have to improve in whatever technology they are acquiring to ensure that the election is done in a manner that, you know, it meets the expectation of Nigerians. I think that's the thing, and I'm very confident that there's a determination, you know, within the INEC to ensure that they do not fail. And if there are any, shortcomings, I believe that they will quickly address that. This is the only way to also restore confidence on the electorate that the INEC is serious and is committed towards organizing free, fair, and credible elections without so much dispute. So I think it's important that we encourage INEC to improve in the on this provision of using technology, because it is going to help a lot. It is going to address so many issues that is leading to electoral manipulation, electoral fraud, and so many unnecessary, fight and dispute during the election.
Now, Rafsanjani, don't you think that civil society has rather raised expectations to an almost unreasonable degree? First of all, by presenting the situation before the enactment of this amendment to the Electoral Act as though we never had any free or credible elections in the country, and that without having this amendment passed, it's not possible for us to have such free elections. And now that the Act has been passed, isn't there now suddenly a bit of a, how do I put it? The expectation is that our elections will now be perfect. And is that a reasonable expectation? Or should we, as the President said in another context, recognize that we have to do incremental improvements, incremental reforms, and recognize that it's not going to be all darkness on one side and all brightness on the other?
Yeah, I mean, it is about the character and behavior of the Nigerian people, because the truth of the matter is that even if INEC is prepared to do the needful, if the politician, the political parties, and the voters themselves, as well as even security agencies and the government generally, they do not change the way they do things, it would be extremely difficult to realize the potential of having a sound electoral framework that will enable us to deliver good, election that will be called free, fair, credible, and acceptable to Nigerians. So it is also about the mindset of the Nigerian people. They have to change the way they do things. And I expect that political parties, they should engage in massive political education to their members. Also, I think they should also equally engage in doing that. Civil society, they have been already doing that, and they can also intensify efforts to ensure that these provisions are also understood and comply with by Nigerians and other stakeholders. So definitely, it is not going to be 100% perfect unless we are also ready as Nigerians to ensure that we change the way and manner we do things.
But Rafsanjani, I mean, isn't the idea of this legislation designed to say that we are Nigerians and this is how we are, and so the legislation is designed to deal with those things that we, on the assumption that we as Nigerians are not going to change, we are still going to get those credible elections because the law is going to make sure that we do. And there's this concern that we have led people to believe that it's going to be perfect, even though there will be those who try to cheat and do their usual election wuru-wuru. But let me, before we close... Okay, sorry, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, Madam President, I think the issue is that we know that there were numerous problems in the past associated with the bad, election conducted without, this progressive electoral, Amendment Act. Mm-hmm. We are saying that this amendment will help to improve our electoral process. Nobody is saying that it's going to be 100% perfect, because we are dealing with human beings, and there are some groups of people who are capable of undermining anything that will, be positive or improve the way we do our election, simply because they are determined to ensure that they do not comply with the rules and regulations in Nigeria. However, there are a sizable number of Nigerians that are happy that we are going to change from the analog way of doing election, which allows for more rigging, which allows for electoral violence, which allows for more impunity, which allows for more dispute. This time around, we will likely going to have a minimal occurrences of that kind of incident. Well, that is the the issue that, you know, we are putting. Nobody is 100%, you know, unless we are ready to also take responsibility as a Nigerian.
Well, we're going to hope that, as they say, if the hunter learns to shoot without missing, then the birds have to learn to fly without perching. And it's a constant game. But just before we go, I'd like to have your thoughts on this issue of appointees as delegates to party conventions, and whether you think that these matters which are external to the actual elections in which we, the public, take part are going to make any difference. And we notice that INEC expects the parties to have their candidates list ready 6 months before, more than 6 months before the election, so that all this litigation that we normally see challenging the outcome of primaries and so on will have been disposed of before we get to actually vote, rather than voting and then finding that, oh, it's not Mr. X who is the flag bearer of Party Y, it's Mr. A. Do you think that that's going to make a difference?
This is the beauty of this amendment that we have all struggled to have, you know, the early conduct of party primaries and the submission of the list of candidates. So every political party shall, you know, not less than 180 days before the date appointed for the general election submit the list of candidates the party proposes to sponsor at the election to the commission, who must have emerged from valid primaries conducted by political parties. This is going to resolve so many issues where somebody will now be imported, you know, after the primaries, after the election, then simply the election will be nullified on the basis of lack of proper due process and clarity on the party, on the conduct of the party primary. So I think this is going to solve a lot of problems whereby people have elected wrong person. You know,
what about the provision where the that the president had raised his views on the appointment of the having special delegates? Although many people take the view that if it's against the constitution, then it will be struck down by the courts in any event.
Yeah, well, I think if we are looking at decency and fairness, you know, and neutrality, we have seen it in this country. A former governor of Kano State, Muhammad Abubakar Rimi, in 1983, when he wanted to recontest for the second time, he resigned. He stepped aside. But the implication of allowing people who are holding public offices and coming to be in the electoral process is that they will be using public taxpayers' money, since in Nigeria accountability is absent.
Well, but
they
those are Rimi was an elected official. He wouldn't be affected by this provision. So it's the people who are actually appointed. And you've seen cases where governors have appointed, 500 special assistants so that they can attend party conventions.
This is what I'm saying. There will not be balance. There will not be fairness if we allow that kind of system to continue.
But does it have to be in the act? Why can't party conventions and constitutions
The party appears to be incapable of, you know, creating level playing, you know, for Nigerians. And that is why Nigerians had come back and agitated that order has to be, you know, are put into the electoral act, because some political parties will grossly violate that and continue to, you know, import people to come and, you know, be this super delegate, and, you know, therefore undermining other people's right to participate even in the primaries and in the party affairs. So I think it is because of the way and manner in which, you know, politicians run. You know, the conduct of primaries, you know, that is why many Nigerians tell that one of the ways to improve and change the way and manner in which we have been doing things is to ensure that there's a neutrality in this process.
Okay.
If you are interested in, you know, coming to be part of the party primaries, come as ordinary party member. But don't come as an official, because if you come as an official, you are using your official gown to come and intimidate Arad and take advantage and do advantage over the others. I think it is a fair you know, arrangement that, you know, every party, even without taking it in the
Well, Rafa Anjani, the president has expressed his displeasure, and it is believed that the Attorney General is even now dotting the I's and crossing the T's on the proposed amendment, which will remove that provision or bring it into line with the Constitution. So we'll have to wait and see. But I want to thank you very much for joining me. Our 15 minutes is long past, and I want to thank you very much for joining me. To reassure Nigerians that they should turn out and vote, and it's always the case that if you don't vote, then your vote will not be counted.
Exactly.
The worst that can happen to you if you do vote is that your vote will not be counted, and then you have something to complain about.
That's
so
right.
Thank you so much for joining
us.
Thank you,
Madam President. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye.
He calls me Madam President because of the days long ago when I was president of the Civil Liberties Organization, in case you were thinking there had been a change of government in the country.
Yeah, and the congratulations start to roll out from social media and everywhere. So, see Ayobe. Congratulations, Madam President. Thank you very much, Madam President. I do have a fantastic weekend.
I wish you the same.
All right.
Thank you.
Great. All right, the square will continue.